The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back with another episode. This episode is entitled The Parking Garage. So this, of course, is our Seinfeld episode-by-episode step-through show. Thank you for signing up for premium content. We really appreciate it. So the premise of this episode is that all four characters, Kramer, George, Elaine, and Jerry, go to the mall in New Jersey so that Kramer can buy a cheap air conditioner. And it basically takes place as they are leaving the mall and they're trying to find their car in the parking garage, hence the title. And for the entire time in the episode, they are not able to find it until the very end. What did you think of this episode?
This is a seminal episode, man. Like, this is in the vein of the Chinese restaurant, you know, where it's one location and it's something that's so relatable that you can't help but to laugh. Like, it's relatable and unrelatable. It's relatable and ridiculous at the same time.
Exactly.
But because it is grounded in such reality, like every single situation in this episode, someone has done in some form or fashion.
There are several things I can talk about that I've done specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think this is one of the great episodes of this show. It's an episode that I would hold up as an example for someone who is living under a rock and has never heard of it.
That's ridiculous. So they start out with all four of them there, and they're walking around trying to find it. And Kramer is clearly unable to find the car, but he hasn't said anything yet. He's just sort of like, oh no, it's this way. Oh no, it's this way. And so they, you know, everyone is leaving the mall, so the parking lot the parking garage is really congested. Meanwhile, Elaine has a pair of goldfish that she bought, and she has them in a plastic bag. And she's sort of getting slightly concerned that they might die as the episode goes on, which is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had goldfish?
Yeah, I killed all of them.
Yeah. We when I was younger, I had two goldfish. The fat guy and the skinny guy, named after the hockey players in ice hockey on Nintendo. And I call him the fat guy and the skinny guy because the fat guy was a fucking asshole. And he would, as soon as I would feed him, he would rush and eat all the food, right? And then the skinny guy obviously didn't get any. The skinny guy eventually died of starvation, I would assume. He was the first one to go. Because
that
he
says
never
a lot,
ate.
Doesn't it?
I'm just saying, man. So, and then eventually the fat guy overate and
also died.
And he also died. So to the toilet with them. But my lovely fiance recently had some goldfish. She bought a 10-gallon aquarium. Was it 10-gallon? I can't remember. But she bought a little aquarium and she wanted to get some fish, and she started with goldfish. And once you start with goldfish, you can't really put other fish.
No, because they're fucking lunch.
Right, exactly. So she got some goldfish. She named one Sebastian and one Ariel.
Your fiance is a giant dork.
And Ariel was like, I don't know what they call it. I don't know if it's like an angelfish or what, but it's one of those goldfish that is orange and white, not the stereotypical like golden goldfish. Mm-hmm. And it was very pretty. And I think and that was Ariel because it was pretty, right? And I think Sebastian kind of knew. So
spoiler
at
alert,
one point,
no, it didn't.
But at what? Well, I'm saying, dude, at one point we came downstairs and we saw Ariel swimming on her side, like still alive, but in the death throes. And Sebastian is just swimming around like, What's up with that?
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
I don't know what happened.
It'd be a shame if something happened to your goldfish there.
So we and eventually Ariel died. So we got another goldfish who was black. I forgot what she called it, but it was black.
Tyrone.
And we got another like Ariel. And all of a sudden, Ariel died again. And then the black one died. But Sebastian is still chilling. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's up with these other fish, but
that fish is a fucking murderer.
That fish, she bought a fucking psycho fish, man. She bought a goddamn serial killer goldfish. And I literally cannot explain those fish, the deaths of the other fish, other than the fact that she bought the Patrick Bateman of fish.
You know what? Sometimes you gotta die.
Sometimes you gotta die. And goldfish don't do anything. I really don't understand pets, man.
Well, at least dogs and cats do things.
Dogs at least love you. Cats, they don't give a fuck about you.
No, well, that's true. Hence my reasons why I'm not a cat fan.
I would never, ever get a cat. As much as I hate dogs, I would have 10 dogs before I got a cat. Because yeah, a cat doesn't love you.
No, cats are just like, thanks for showing up. Where's my food, bitch? Now get out of my face.
Right. And someone tried to sell me on why I should get a cat. It was like, well, no, cats are independent. You know,
if a cat, what the fuck do I need to be there for?
Right. Right. Exactly. If I have a pet, I want that pet to worship me. God damn it. If I can't get humans to worship me, I'm going to at least have a dog worship me. If that cat, the cat will just, if the cat gets lost, it's self-sufficient. If a dog gets lost, it'll die. One, it'll just die then. And two, fuck cats.
Agreed. Not, no.
Pretentious None. Assholes.
They are. That's exactly what they are. So further into this episode, I just want to point out that at like 2 minutes and like 30 seconds, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, they end up passing where the car actually is.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because as I watched it today, like I watched to see what section they were in at the end. It's the section they were in like the second scene in the beginning. Because it's like around like 20 blue or whatever the fuck or whatever the color is, which is just hilarious. It would have been funny if like I don't remember if they say like, oh, there's a car. No, it's not. But like, yeah, it is the car actually. Have you ever gotten lost in a parking lot? Because I have.
Yeah, but nothing too fancy. I think it was with Tyson's Corner. I couldn't find my car at one time.
How long did it take you to find it?
About a half an hour. Yeah, because I didn't know where I was, and I didn't know, it was my first time at Tyson's Corner, right. And I'm lost in fucking Virginia of all places. So, but it wasn't,
at that point. Not too bad.
Yeah.
I once got lost in a parking lot with my aunt and my cousin. I'm going to say for at least 2 hours.
What?
At King's Dominion at night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like the Simpsons thing, like you're parked in the itchy lot. It was, it's just like right. One gigantic parking lot. We couldn't. And this was the time before cars had the, like you couldn't do like bloop, bloop. Like you couldn't do that.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was at least 2 hours. And I just remember thinking to myself as a kid, we're never going to get out of here. Like we're going to have to wait until the morning where we can see everything and we're just going to be stuck forever. For 2 hours. And that's like, you want to talk about like a terrible situation. That's after having a great time at an amusement park all day long. And then
right.
And then finishing up with that shit.
And now you're going to have to stay at that amusement park forever.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been my only experience. I did just the other day when I went to a movie screening, I couldn't find my car when I got out. I was at Arundel Mills, which I go to all the time. And I used, another person that we know's car as a landmark because it's yellow and it's really obvious. And I was like, cool, there's his car. I'll just park near it. I'll see his car from a mile away. But incidentally, I walked out with him, and there was a second car, his car that was yellow, that was the one I parked next to, that was suddenly gone. So I was completely confused for like 10 minutes. I'm like, where the fuck is my car? I was like, there's his car. And he's like, that's not my car. Or no, he was like, yeah, that's my car. But there was also a yellow car, exactly the same, that was here earlier. I was like, it's like, well, fuck landmarks then, I guess.
Oh, that's funny.
So after that, there's a part in the episode where George sees this woman who she's like walking with her son and she's yelling at him and hitting him. I'm like, come on, I told you to hurry up. And George goes up and he's like, hey, I don't think it's necessary for you to hit that kid. Like, he's just defenseless. And they and the kid's like, hey, you're ugly. Like, it's just a George. And George gets into like sort of a yelling match with the kid. And he's like, no, you know, that's your opinion. He's like, that's what I know. Like, God damn. I'd have punched that kid in the face.
That little bastard. Yeah. You kicked that kid right in the ass. Go ahead, mom. Yeah. Now, would you ever do that? If you saw someone spanking their kid, would you intervene and be like,
it'd have to be pretty bad. Cause like, I got whoopings as a kid. Like, my mom's motto for me growing up was, wherever you embarrass me is where I embarrass you. Okay. So yeah, I got my butt torn up a couple times out in public as a kid. But like, if somebody was like smacking a kid like hard across the face or punching a kid, I would say something.
Mm.
Would you?
I don't know if I would.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
and this is like why this is why no one came to your rescue when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah. This is why I got literal flesh wounds as a child. Unless it was like a clenched fist.
Yeah.
You know, but open hand slap, or maybe even if it was like a backhand, maybe. But, you know.
A backhand is pretty rough.
A backhand is like intent. Like, that's not in the moment.
Like, right.
Nobody backhands anyone, you know, as a crime of passion. No, you have to physically, because you don't, you know, when you throw a punch, you don't instinctively, like, I don't know. For me, I don't instinctively go to a backhand.
Yeah, a backhand is like, you have to aim properly.
Right. You know, you're right.
Because like, you're lining
up.
It's a reverse
haymaker, for God's sake.
Right. Like, you can't just throw that just instinctually. That, no, you're like, I'm going to backhand this person. Wham. And you're coming with a lot of force because you're just like throwing your body into it. So
right.
Yeah.
So,
no, I would step in on that. Like, if I saw someone like really punch a kid, I think I would just punch them. Like, I don't even think I'd say anything. Just be like, hey, and just like hit him in the face.
If I saw someone with a clenched fist hit a kid, then you're obligated, right? You're obligated, but. I mean, it would have to be a little kid, too, because...
Yeah, if you're like 16, yeah, you probably had that shit coming.
Yeah. I remember this one time, I used to work security at Target. And, you know, those Target security guys, like, God bless them, but, you know, they ain't getting paid a lot of money. Any security, you know, a doorman, basically, they're not getting paid a lot of money to do what they do. So, at one point, these two women get into it. And I rush over there, but I rush over there because I want to see a fight, right? Because that's the hood part of me. Like, oh shit, son! But I'm supposed to be like some sort of authority figure. So people are looking at me like, break it up, break it up. I'm like, no. Like, this woman just ripped out this other woman's eyebrow ring.
Oh shit, are you serious?
Yes, like you see the ring and flesh on the ground.
Oh, I ain't no.
Breaking that shit up. No, get the fuck out of here.
You gotta call the police on that one.
Yeah, man. Ripping hair out and shit. Nope.
Women are way more vicious fighters than men.
Because they don't give up, because they don't know how to fight. One, sorry, ladies. Fight. One, you might know how to fight, but you've never had to fight. Right. So you just kind of go for broke. Yeah. And that's not. You know, like, you gotta, guys are like, if they're not trained to fight, they kind of, you know, because we have balls, we kind of have respect for our opponent because
You know,
we don't necessarily want to hit them in the balls because we don't necessarily want to get hit in the balls.
Yeah, there's like a weird level of mutual respect. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but women, like, that shit goes out the fucking window, man.
Side note, though. I have definitely been in a fight where I kicked the dude square in the balls immediately.
Oh, look, look, ain't no rules in the streets.
No, there's no...
I'm trying to win.
Yeah, this is not a MMA Zuffa TV sanctioned fight.
Right,
no,
right.
I'm out to not get knocked out. And if that means ringing your bell with my foot against your balls, then guess what's happening? No.
But at the same time, it's like...
It's not my go-to move.
Right, it's not your go-to move, and when you get to that point, like, you're fearing for your life here.
I only did it because that guy had a significant size advantage, and like a lumberjack, he needed to be like a tree. He needed to be chopped down.
Exactly. But if it was like someone on your level, like someone who's also 4'11", you know, you would
4'10".
You wouldn't necessarily go there first, right?
No, I would not.
Women, they don't give a fuck, dude. They don't give a shit. And speaking of which, Elaine does that shit. So Elaine, in this episode, is going around asking people, hey, can you drive me around to help me look for my car? And everyone is like, no, except for one Looney Tune. And
the black guy's my favorite. He's like, yeah. Don't you think you would get an enjoyment out of helping someone? No, I don't.
And Elaine goes up to these two bodybuilders who had just come from the gym or whatever. And they're like, no, sorry. And she's like, well, she keeps insisting. And they're like, no, sorry, lady. And then she's like, oh, yeah, okay, go home to your dumbbells because we're all real impressed. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You want a piece of me? And George is like, what the fuck are you doing, Elaine?
Because like, then I got to fight don't these
have,
guys.
Women don't have that filter, man, when it comes to getting into a fight.
No, and look, I like him a lot as a comedian, and I think he's also an incredibly smart guy in a lot of ways. But Bill Burr has that whole joke about how women are that way because they haven't grown up in a society where it would be completely normal for them to get punched in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
and
guys,
look,
don't say shit.
We're not saying women need to be punched in the face.
No. Right? Well, maybe by Jesus other women. Christ. No, but maybe by other women, not by dudes. But like, I do think that people say shit when they think there is no, when you have a consequence level of someone punching you in the mouth, you're a little bit easy about, you're less easy about the shit that just flows out of your mouth. You just don't.
Yeah, man.
Like, I'm not just going to go up to any dude and be like, you ain't shit, fuck you. I'm just not going to say that.
Right,
because that
man.
Dude might punch me in the face. And I don't want, no guy wants to get punched in the face.
Right. Well, maybe Terrence. Because Terrence likes to fight.
Yeah. Terrence doesn't want to get punched in the face. Terrence dares you to punch him in the face.
Right.
there's a massive difference. But yeah, I just don't think women have had, they don't grow up, at least in American society, and I would argue probably around the world, like, they just don't have that fear of getting into a fist fight.
Right.
And because of that, you can push a whole lot further. You can say a whole lot more shit because, you know, somebody didn't turn around and clock you and knock your ass out.
Right.
And again, I'm not actually advocating for that to happen. I wish people didn't hit each other at all. But the fear of that happening, it'll keep your ass in line.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Just don't know.
Now let me ask you a question. Would you have driven some strangers
Fuck
around the parking lot?
No. Yeah. No. For white people, are you crazy? No. If it was Elaine by herself, yes. Yeah, I probably do. I probably would.
I did that one time. I don't know what my problem. Oh,
you know
what?
Let me give a couple more stipulations. I would give any of the four of them a ride individually, but I would have to size them up as to whether or not I could kick their ass. Like, that's my number one. Like, if I'm going to help you and put myself in a situation where it's, like, sort of precarious like that, I need to know in my heart of hearts, I could fuck you up in this car just to make sure in case shit went south. Like, if Jerry pulled out a knife, I need to know that I could punch him in the face hard enough to knock him unconscious. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of my view of it.
One day, I um, I was and at first I was like, oh, I don't know. At first I was about to say I didn't know why I did it, but I know why I did it. Because I was lonely and I watched too much porn, and I think, oh, maybe something will pop off, you know. But this was when I was
a classic guy thought.
Right. This is when I was living in my efficiency. And I was getting gas, and some woman was like, hey, can you give me a ride? And I'm like, and you know, I'm thinking about my dick, and I'm like, oh yeah, sure. You know, where do you live? And this, that, and the other. And where I picked them up at was the Africa and Israel Junction on Park Heights. I was at that gas station. So for those of you not in the Baltimore area, there's this one road called Park Heights, and there's an intersection at Park Heights and Northern Parkway. On one side of Park Heights, there is, like, the west side of Park Heights, there is synagogue, 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 synagogue. And then you cross Northern Parkway, and it's liquor store, liquor store, liquor store, liquor store. So I always call that the junction between Africa and Israel.
That's fucked up. One, why are our people represented by liquor stores and not by black churches? That's just hilarious. But you're not wrong.
So I give this woman a ride, and then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, once I realize that, like, nothing sexual is going to happen,
right?
My brain takes over, and it's like, nigga, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, this woman could be a fucking psycho. So,
some men, you know, get murdered, dude.
Right, exactly. So I keep weapons on me at all times. So I'm sitting on my one knife, and I have my second knife in the middle console. So I can't just, like,
open it up,
reach in there and pull out a knife and say, hey, by the way, you know, I'm, you know, because I, no, like, that's, no. That's
yeah, pull a knife on an innocent woman so she thinks you're going to try to rape her.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but what I did do, because I don't trust her, is that I keep a knife in my door well.
Okay,
so
that's right.
I just kept my hand on my knife in the door well. And she's like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, oh yeah. And then she was just giving me directions. But, you know, I was acting like I was playing it cool by driving with one hand. But
you're,
you know,
terrified.
But the other hand is in the, it has the knife in the wheel well just in case this woman, like, pulls a knife out on her own, and then we're going to do a beat it fight in the middle of the car. Like
the fucking ending from Under Siege. That's hilarious. I have done that before. Again, I was singing with my dick and not with my brain. I was probably 18, and I gave this girl by herself a ride. I was so weird then. Like, I gave this girl a ride to her place. Like, I stopped to talk to her or whatever. I was like, oh, you know, you live around here? And she's like, yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll give you a ride. You know, trying to be a gentleman or whatever. But I clearly wanted to give her a ride so that I could get her phone number. Like, that's obvious. I gave her the ride, and she was like, oh, did you want my phone number? And I was like, no, I'm just giving you a ride. And I was like, wait, yes, what? Like I had that, like, idiot moment. It's like, hey, dum-dum, yeah. And I called her a couple times, nothing happened. But, yeah, like, that was it. I almost blew it. I almost got potentially murdered for nothing. Oh, damn dumb. So further into this episode, Jerry has to go to the bathroom really, really bad. He has to pee really bad. And look, this is one of my all-time favorite moments on this show. I cannot lie. And Kramer's like, just go to the bathroom in the parking garage, dude. Just go, you know, around that corner. Just do it. And Jerry's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, listen, if you hold it in, you know, you could do damage. You know, you better do it. So Jerry, of course, he goes to do it, and he immediately gets caught by the police, like the mall security guard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he has, quote, uromycetitis poisoning, which means that he can't hold his bladder, and that he has to go to the bathroom whenever the mood strikes him. I just find that whole thing to be absolutely hilarious.
Well, his delivery of that line, you know, I forget what he says, but the cop says, "Oh, and what's that?" He says, "Because I could get uromycetitis poisoning and die."
Do you want me to die? Do you care? He's like, "That's up to you, sir." That shit is fucking funny. So that scene happens, and then later on, George also has to go to the bathroom because they've been walking around the parking garage for so long, and Kramer tells him sort of the same thing, and sure as shit, the second he goes to use the bathroom, he gets busted by the same cop in quotes, and gets taken to the same office that Jerry is sitting in, and he's telling him, "Oh, my parents are waiting for me back in New York, and I've got to get there." And of course, Jerry had tried to already use that excuse. So yeah, they both get citations for public urination. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever gotten a public sanitation or urination charge?
To be honest, I didn't know that they existed.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that they existed.
I have never gotten one, but I have peed in a parking garage.
Yeah, I try to be civilized, but you know. You gotta go. You gotta go.
Yeah, I had to, and I was like going to a concert or something, and I peed in front of someone's car. Sorry, guys. I didn't pee on your car, but I peed in front of your car.
Yeah, you just kind of duck down and like, "Oh, I dropped my wallet."
Yeah. Whoops.
And I'm down here looking for it for 30 seconds.
Yeah. to a minute, depending. But yeah, I just thought that was really funny that they both got these citations. So there was a woman in the beginning that of the episode where Jerry points out to George and he's like, "Hey, Georgie boy, what do you think of that?" And it's like this really like pretty good looking woman. And good looking for like the 90s. I'm looking at her right now. And so they see her again. And George goes up to her, Jerry convinces George to go up to her and ask her to give them a ride. And she's like a lunatic. And she's like, "Yeah, I'll give you a ride." No, I would not have given a ride to four people at the same time. No way.
Yeah, no. Get the fuck out of here.
They could have just like punched you in the back of the head and stole your car. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, get out of here. See, that poor woman could be or Elaine with her bag of goldfish could, you know, those could be like poison goldfish or some shit. I don't know. She could throw that shit at you like a goddamn goldfish grenade.
Yeah. And then where do you find yourself?
Exactly. But she was a psycho anyway. She was a Scientologist. Like, that was the first time I had ever heard of the term Scientologist.
Yeah, that was a really I hadn't remembered that scene. So she's driving them around just for a few seconds and she stops the car and she's like, "Get out." And apparently George had said something that insulted L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I didn't. Well, what is he? Does he say, 'I didn't know you were a fan of that guy'" or?
Yeah. "I didn't know you were a fan of L. Ron Hubbard" or something like that. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
implying that she's a Scientologist. And so she just drives off. And,
I mean, Jerry even said, "Boy, those Scientologists are really sensitive." Like, what the fuck?
Like, what the fuck is a Scientologist? So at that point, they realized that they had been dropped off right at the car by this woman. Now, she didn't give Kramer a ride. I think just the other three. And Kramer went off looking for the air conditioning unit that he bought earlier that he put in front of someone's car so that he could walk around. And he couldn't remember where he'd put that. So hours passed while George, Elaine, and Jerry are sitting on the trunk of the actual car. And finally Kramer catches up with them. And then they go to leave. And of course, the engine fails to start. And that's the end of the episode.
So,
which is a perfect ending, by the way.
So Kramer was struggling to carry the box with the air conditioner in it. And, you know, as we've said before, he likes to have like the box had something in it because he wanted the physicality to be there.
He didn't just
want to pretend to have something in there. Well, he was struggling with it and he ended up slamming the box into the trunk and Michael Richards really hurt himself.
Oh, really?
Like he banged his lip on the box's corner and it cut open. And the other cast members were laughing. But the camera, you know, cuts to Michael Richards, and Michael Richards stayed in character. And he was like, well, he looked at Elaine and or looked at Julia Louis-Dreyfus and said, I really hurt myself, Elaine. And apparently, and it's on like the special features in the DVD. Like, it didn't make the final episode, but I'll give it to Michael Richards for staying in character, whereas most people would be like, ah, sorry, new take.
Oh, fuck yeah, it. He kind of fucking hits his face.
Yeah,
up against the rocks. Good for him. He's a racist. It's fun. Yeah, Elaine looks pretty bad. Looks pretty pissed off because Kramer's like, "Hey, so what happened to the goldfish?" And Jerry's like, "Don't ask that question." So apparently they died. So they all get in, like I said, and the engine fails to start, and then roll credits. So yeah, look, I thought this was I think it's a pretty seminal episode, pretty damn funny in a lot of ways, and just good, just a generally a good episode.
Yeah, good, solid episode.
All right, that is it for us. We will be back next week for another episode of Airing of Grievances.
See you. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?